Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the divine gift of repentance according to Mormonism? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to discuss this topic is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. At the October 2011 General Conference, Elder D. Todd Christofferson, who's a member of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, gave a talk called The Divine Gift of Repentance, the subtitle being, Only Through Repentance Do We Gain Access to the Atoning Grace of Jesus Christ.
Well, and he says, Bill, here in the second column of the Ensign Magazine, page 38 of the November 2011 edition, he says, others maintain that a loving God forgives all sin based on simple confession, or if there really is a punishment for sin, quote, God will beat us with the few stripes, and at last we will be saved in the kingdom of God, end quote. That's 2 Nephi 28:8. What he's using here is he's explaining this idea of repentance and how God does forgive. As he's introducing it here, he throws out what we would call a straw man argument, that it's interesting in Mormonism that so often do they say that there is no such thing as punishment for sin, and yet very clearly the Book of Mormon does teach in that, Bill.
He actually starts off this whole section by saying the message of repentance is often not welcome. Some profess that if there is a God, he makes no real demands upon us. And then he goes into that sentence that you just gave. Others maintain that a loving God forgives all sin based on a simple confession. Obviously, he must have a caricature of Christianity in his mind when he says this. Now, here's what's a little bit irritating is the Mormons often give the impression that in Christianity, we don't really even have a solid doctrine of repentance. We most certainly do. We do believe that there is repentance. Repentance is very much a part of the Christian life. We come to Christ in faith. Obviously, the reason we come to Him in faith is because we recognize the need that we need to repent of our sins and transgressions against God. But we don't interpret this as meaning that there has to be a 100% success rate in keeping all the commandments or in forsaking all of our sins. Is that a noble goal? I would say yes, that certainly is a noble goal. And you have a lot of Latter-day Saints that will say that they're trying their best to repent or stop sinning. But yet, how many of them are actually doing that? What's interesting about this talk by Christofferson is he plays perfectly into the traditional role of what repentance has always been and probably always will be in the context of Mormonism, and why we as Bible-believing Christians would really have a struggle with his definition.
He gives five aspects of this principle. He starts on page 39 and he lists the five. And the second one, I want to spend a little time here, Bill, because I think this is really important what he says. He says, second, repentance means striving to change. It would mock the Savior's suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross for us to expect that he should transform us into angelic beings with no real effort on our part. Rather, we seek his grace to complement and reward our most diligent efforts. Again, this idea of no real effort on our part, I think this is the caricature you're talking about, where so many say in Christianity, in evangelical Christianity, all you have to do is say, oh, Lord, forgive me, and I can go out and commit murder and commit adultery, and I'm okay.
We've heard that many, many times.
With no real effort on our part. And we have talked about this before in this show, Bill, about sanctification and how very important it is. Mm-hmm. But he quotes here 2 Nephi 25:23, for we are saved by grace.
After all we can do.
Absolutely.
And how many times have we heard some of these BYU professors trying to give the impression that 2 Nephi 25:23 needs to be understood as merely meaning in spite of all we can do. We do what we can, but we're not going to be able to do enough, but we're still going to get the grace. Now, he's not giving that implication here. He says we seek his grace to complement and reward our most diligent efforts. And then he quotes the passage, 2 Nephi 25:23. But again, as you've mentioned, here is another clear case of a Mormon leader blurring the lines of distinction between what we believe justifies or makes a person right in the eyes of God and what sanctifies or sets them apart in service to God. He is making it very clear that if you're going to have true repentance, it's going to be accompanied by all these various works and what? Abandoning, really, sin. And how much sin must they be abandoned? You ask any Latter-day Saint, true repentance involves the abandonment of sin, yes or no? They'll say yes. Ask them the next question. Well, how many sins must you abandon? Every time they will say all of them.
How often?
All of the time. How many are doing it? None.
Yeah.
None of them are doing it.
It's impossible. It's the impossible dream. And then he says here, Bill, he says, real repentance, real change may require repeated attempts, but there is something refining and holy in such striving. He goes on and says, with repentance, we can steadily improve in our capacity to live the celestial law, for we recognize that, quote, he who is not able to abide the law of a celestial kingdom cannot abide a celestial glory. He's quoting, Bill, here out of Doctrine and Covenants 88:22, this idea that you have to abide the celestial law in order to abide the celestial kingdom. What is a celestial law?
Well, most Mormons would tell you that they are hoping to get into the celestial kingdom because that is where they hope to get all the perks of true salvation, which of course means being united with their family
right
forever,
having
the ability to procreate throughout all eternity, which is known as eternal increase.
Mm-hmm.
However, the only way they can get into the celestial kingdom and enjoy exaltation is, as you have said, by keeping celestial law. According to John Taylor, the third president of the Mormon Church, he said, again, we ask, what is this celestial law? The celestial law above referred to is absolute submission and obedience to the law of God. Now, let me ask you Latter-day Saints that are listening to this. Whenever your leaders in general conference talk about keeping the commandments, do you really think they are referring to only keeping some of the commandments?
No.
Every Latter-day Saint I've specifically asked that question always understands it to mean that they are supposed to keep all of the commandments. Okay, that's fine if that's what you want to believe. But then the next question comes down, are you keeping all the commandments? And of course, the answer to that question is not yes. It's always I'm trying or something like that, which is commendable. Again, that's commendable. But that's not the requirement. You have to be successful at keeping all the commandments. You have to keep celestial law in order to get into the celestial kingdom.
Well, yeah, I agree completely with that, Bill, this idea that you have to do that. And so does Christofferson. Even though he has said here that there's something refining and holy in such striving, it's not just the striving, it's the actual completion. Because his third point is this. Repentance means not only abandoning sin, but also committing to obedience. He later says, a few paragraphs down the way, for our turning to the Lord to be complete, it must include nothing less than a covenant of obedience to Him.
And I should stop you there because every Mormon makes that covenant of obedience. Every time they partake of the sacrament, they always make a covenant that they are going to keep the commandments. And as their leaders have said, this is not supposed to be understood as just keeping some of them. They are promising to keep all of them. And yet I have yet to meet one Mormon who keeps that covenant. And if you have a Mormon who says he does, all you have to do is say, oh, then I guess you never find the need to repent. Well, and they'll say, well, I repent all the time. Well, doesn't that mean that you're breaking commandments all the time? Because only people who break commandments are in need of having to repent.
And it starts, he says, with baptism. From the very time you join the church until
the
day you die.
They make the same covenant when they are baptized in the Mormon church.
When they go to the temple, they make
covenant. They make the same covenant.
When they take the sacrament.
That's right.
All of these times.
So they're always making this covenant that they're going to keep the commandments, yet none of them are doing it. Now, it's not to say that they're not keeping some of them. Of course, they're probably keeping some of them. But that is not what Mormon leaders have said. And as you can see from this message that was just given recently, October 2011, certainly the implication here is you're supposed to keep all of them. Now, you might say, well, I don't feel that that's absolutely correct. Well, Christofferson head you off at the pass. He says, thus, whatever one feels is right for him or her cannot be judged by others to be wrong or sinful. He's not saying that to be flattering. He's saying that's a mistaken notion. And yet, how many times have we heard Mormons say that, well, I feel this to be right?
He quotes 2 Nephi 31:7 that says, But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. And then this is a very interesting statement Christofferson says after that. Without this covenant, repentance remains incomplete, and the remission of sins unattained. Don't let anybody fool you that the striving of this is, I mean, he says, refining and holy. It's the keeping the commandments, not the repentance, that makes a person holy.
So, Eric, what happens to this phrase we often hear among some, especially the BYU guys and the Mormon apologists? Well, I do my best and Jesus does the rest.
That's not scriptural.
That's not what Christofferson is saying. In fact, what Christofferson says here, without this covenant, repentance remains incomplete and the remission of sins unattained, that sounds very similar to what Spencer Kimball taught in The Miracle of Forgiveness, page 212. He said, an incomplete repentance never brought complete forgiveness. Mm. And this goes right along with the church manual called Gospel Fundamentals. If you look at page 67 in the chapter called Repentance, it's actually chapter 14. Page 67 says, our Father in heaven does not sin, and he does not allow people who sin to live with him. To live with him, we must repent of our sins. To repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them. Now, how many sins must a Latter-day Saint stop doing? Some of them?
No.
No, he's supposed to stop doing all of them.
Real quick, Bill, he also quotes D&C 58:43, which says, by this ye may know that if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and
forsake them.
Forsake them.
Some of them? No, he will forsake all of them. I know he takes a swipe at what we believe to be justification by faith, but let me close with this. This is a statement by B.B. Warfield, who was a professor at Princeton. He said, so justification by faith we see is not to be set in contradiction to justification by works. It is set in contradiction only to justification by our works. It is the justification by Christ's works.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.